Live from Tulane, dealmakers predict phenomenal M&A market in 2026, with mega deals driving activity. Dealmakers came down to the Big Easy this week to take part in the 38th annual Tulane Corporate Law Institute, and the bullish mood around M&A activity immediately turned the cool New Orleans air into beautiful sunny skies. If all goes to plan, 2026 could exceed the record total deal values from the glory days of 2021. David Katz of Wachtell kicked off the conference by touting once again that a record number of participants registered, with over 1,100 in person and virtually, including 40 members of the press. To the joy of many, David shared that the committee listened to valuable feedback and switched to a 2-hour break for lunch, more time for enjoying the weather, a Sazerac, and lively conversations. As is tradition, the banker outlook from Stefan Feldgeuys, global head of M&A at Goldman Sachs, set the stage for day one, where he discussed how this is one of the most dynamic and active environments in several decades. He summed up his enthusiasm clearly. "This is a phenomenal M&A market, and we're as busy as we've ever been. This isn't necessarily the peak or end of the run either," as he expressed the belief that we're still in the early innings of this cycle. That's consistent with Gladstone's 2026 Dealmaker Survey, with 51% of respondents predicting the M&A market will be up modestly compared to 2025, and up sharply from another 20%. While companies are facing changing conditions with a technology sell-off, AI disruption, write-downs in private credit, and an escalating war in the Middle East, Stefan noted that the new normal is uncertainty. Companies and dealmakers are well-equipped to handle this volatility to execute M&A that delivers the all-important benefit of size and scale. Panelists of Hot Topics in M&A Practice, moderated by Rita Ann O'Neill of Sullivan & Cromwell, echoed Stefan's confidence in the M&A market. Paul Weiss's Scott Barshay commented that large record-breaking deals will drive activity, given there's a lot of pent-up demand to do strategic deals. And large public companies want to take advantage of this window to pursue large strategic transactions after years where that was virtually impossible. On that note, it looks like this could be the year of hostiles and deal jumps, as Scott and Stefan opined that volatility makes it harder to get friendly deals done, due to the valuation disconnects between targets and acquirers. During this conversation, Audra Cohen of Sullivan & Cromwell also reinforced the importance of having a clearly established independent committee early in the process, who has real power and authority over a deal negotiation. Our survey, which received a nice shout-out, thanks Rita Ann, served as fodder for when panelists were asked to share their thoughts on the Trump administration having the most impact on M&A activity, while antitrust ranked lowest. Former Chancellor of the Delaware Supreme Court Leo Strine noted Delaware is in good shape and expressed concerns around government agencies getting involved in deals with a political agenda rather than focusing on the strategic merits, leaving dealmakers without precedent transactions to best counsel clients. This newsletter is coming to you later today so that we could recap this morning's excellent M&A and the media panel, moderated by GPP's very own Steve Lippin. A veritable Tulane institution, this year's a list panel, featuring David Faber, Lauren Thomas, Matt Levine, and Stephen Davidoff Solomon, covered a lot of ground, from how they each got their starts and the mission of their outlets, to what it is like when people try to spin you when covering a deal or activism situation. Like any good conference in 2026, there was also a discussion of AI, with Stephen and Matt noting that analysis and the ability to talk to people and break news are still incredibly valuable in journalism and unlikely to be replaced by AI anytime soon. Have a great weekend, GPP team. In activism news this week, The Economist, Elliott Management, and The Art of Telling Bosses They're Wrong. In a profile on the shareholder activist, The Economist shines a spotlight on the firm, while discussing Elliott's recent high-profile campaigns and forays into Japan and the UK. Reuters, exclusive, JANA Partners pushes Six Flags to explore sale, replace board chair, letter says. JANA, in partnership with Travis Kelce, previously announced a stake in the theme park operator in October, and is now urging the company to immediately appoint a new board of directors and begin exploring a sale. Activism on the rise in Japan and South Korea? As Japan and South Korea continue to reform their governance rules to be more shareholder-friendly and urge companies to unwind cross-shareholdings, the two countries have seen a sharp rise in activist engagements. In top M&A news, Financial Times, UniCredit launches 35 billion euros Commerzbank takeover offer. Italian lender UniCredit announced it has increased its stake in Germany's Commerzbank to 29% and resumed its long-running pursuit to acquire the bank. The cross-border bid still faces opposition from the German government, which still owns 12% of Commerzbank. The Wall Street Journal: Public Storage to acquire national storage affiliates in $5.6 billion stock deal. The combined storage unit company will have a market capitalization of around $57 billion, with the deal bringing public storage an additional 1,000 properties in high-growth regions. The Wall Street Journal: Victory Capital raises cash offer in revised bid for Janus Henderson. After its previous bids were rejected, Victory Capital announced a revised, higher offer to acquire Janus Henderson, which the Asset Managers Special Committee is currently evaluating. Financial Times: Unilever and Kraft Heinz held talks over food merger uniting ketchup and mayo. The consumer goods giants had explored merging Unilever's food and Kraft Heinz's condiments divisions amid slowing demand caused by shifting consumer preferences. In corporate governance news, The Wall Street Journal: SEC prepares proposal to eliminate quarterly reporting requirement. Corey Driebusch reports that the SEC is preparing to announce a proposal in the next month that would only require public companies to report their earnings results semi-annually. Bloomberg: Small investors fear SEC will drive corporate gadflies to extinction. Jeff Green and Sijil Kishan spotlight how small investors and corporate governance watchdogs could be impacted by new potential SEC regulation that would require investors to hold at least $1 million in stock or a 3% stake to file proxy proposals for company AGMs. The Wall Street Journal opinion: Exxon joins the Texas corporate migrants. The journal's editorial board reacts to the oil giant's announcement to move its incorporation from New Jersey to Texas, as the state's legal reforms have been drawing in more business. In IPOs this week, CNBC: OpenAI preps for IPO by end of year, tells employees ChatGPT must be productivity tool. As the company continues to prepare for an IPO, while CNBC confirmed that OpenAI is still targeting a public offering by fourth quarter of this year, the AI startup held an all-hands meeting this month emphasizing the company's investment in its enterprise business. Bloomberg: Silver Lake-backed Relativity confidentially files for U.S. IPO. After a tough start to the year for IPOs and concerns around potential winners and losers regarding the AI revolution, the legal data firm took steps to prepare for a listing this year, targeting a $4 billion valuation. From our desk to yours. Last week, the GPP team got together and dined at Sion Cafe, a vegan Ethiopian Jewish restaurant nestled in the heart of Harlem. We were greeted with an abundance of sambusas, lentil samosas, and a history lesson as rich as the flavors of the food. The restaurant is a living testament to the Jewish diaspora and Black history. Owner and host Biji Barhani founded the cafe to celebrate Ethiopian Jewish culture after traveling the world and ending up in Harlem. Her story is out of a thriller. She and her family were smuggled out of Ethiopia to Sudan to Kenya over multiple years and finally reached Israel, where she was raised. Adding to its cultural legacy, the restaurant occupies the former site of Jimmy's Chicken Shack, a legendary Harlem Renaissance landmark once frequented by cultural icons like Malcolm X and Billie Holiday. The fusion of flavors was prevalent across dishes, from the collard greens to dabo, Ethiopian challah. Embracing the customary style, we ate with our hands, scooping spicy lentils with fluffy injera, flatbread. Not to be outdone, we concluded with malawak, flaky flatbread, topped with coconut shavings, a highlight that we're still thinking about. We took this culinary lesson home, learning more about Ethiopian Jewish food and history through Biji's cookbook, Gersha, which was named one of the New York Times' best cookbooks of 2025. Beyond the fantastic flavors and lessons, Sion Cafe gave us the opportunity to try something new, proving that vegan and delectable can belong in the same sentence, and left us all more connected. In People Moves this week, Josh D'Amaro officially began his tenure as the Walt Disney Company's new CEO on Wednesday. BHP announced the appointment of Brandon Craig as the mining company's next CEO, effective July 1st. Yale and Master Lock Padlocks announced it would replace its incoming CEO as part of a settlement with activist Garden Investments. Lululemon, facing pressure from founder Chip Wilson and activist Elliott, has appointed former Levi Strauss CEO Chip Berg to its board of directors. Upcoming events: March 24th, NIRI My Northeast Regional Conference, New York, New York. April 13-17, Semaphore World Economy, Washington, D.C., May 6, Sportico's Invest West Conference, San Francisco, California.